Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Pugs and Ducks! Not a game, not a game! We'll talk about Pugs and Ducks!
You know, this kid is as cool as the other side of the pillow.
I got the answer to your question! So call me AI! Everybody knows the ball don't lie. Some try to test us, and you can too. But you get stepped over like your name was Tyloo. Lottie Dottie, we don't stop the party. AC in the place, Blake or Val and everybody. Don't come through if your game is weak. Get knocked on your ass, Maurice Cheeks.
Top five, booyah.
Bus and Dust. Can you feel the raindrops?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Punks and Dunks, a basketball podcast brought to you by gettingitout.net. And it's the end of the regular season. We're halfway through the play-in tournament, two games down. The Western Conference, the Lakers beat the Pelicans, and the Kings surprisingly beat the Warriors, though I don't know why it's a surprise. They were the higher seed. They had the better season. But like many people out there, I expected the Warriors to kind of walk through the Kings as they have done the past few years. This might be all the evidence we need for the changing of the guard as far as player generations. That Lakers-Pelicans game was looking like a blowout there for a while and then suddenly got really tight. Unfortunately, Zion went out towards the end of the fourth quarter with what looks to be some type of injury. Who knows? Nothing's ever good when you're throwing towels and going back to the locker room in an extremely tight game in the end of the fourth quarter. You imagine it's got to be bad. Otherwise, he would have stuck it out. They'll have another chance to get through to the playoffs when they take on the Kings Thursday night. I'm not sure what to expect there. Either way, I think it works out to the benefit of the number one seed Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought should they have been matched up with the Lakers or the Warriors, they were going to get trounced, respectively trounced in the first round. Now I think against either the Pelicans or the Kings, they'll get through that matchup. The Lakers' reward for winning is to play what might be the most difficult team in the bracket, and that's last year's champs and the likely MVP, Nikola Jokic. And good for the Lakers for getting through to do that. I know a lot of people were speculating or suggesting even that they should throw the game to get the more favorable matchup with the Oklahoma City Thunder, but you never know what's going to happen. You can't assume you would have won that second game. And with the way the Kings looked last night, I don't know how confident I would be going against them. That Kings-Warriors game was pretty much a lock from the beginning. I don't know if the Warriors held a lead at any point in time, but when you peruse the box score, it doesn't very much look like it. Where do the Warriors go from here? The big question is, of course, going to be on Klay Thompson. We know Draymond and Curry are locked up. Doesn't mean they won't dump him, but highly unlikely. As a Patriot, it's good news for the United States basketball team. Since that roster was unveiled this week, the final piece being Kawhi Leonard, as reported yesterday, Steph Curry and Steve Kerr will get some R&R before heading into international waters. In the Eastern Conference, the play-in games will start tonight at 7 p.m. with the most anticipated matchup, the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. I know it's favoritism, but that's the one I'm looking forward to the most, and I think it is truly the best matchup of the four games. Though to be honest, that 9:30 game between the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls, that's a pretty fair matchup there too. It's just no one's worried or interested in what team will come out of that one. My guess would be Chicago. They looked great in their season finale against the New York Knicks. And as I've expressed several times on here in the past, I don't particularly like Trae Young. So go Bulls. I got a lot of thoughts and feelings about this Sixers-Heat matchup. I'm 50-50 with optimism and pessimism. I don't know how it's going to go. I really would prefer them playing the Knicks, and I'm going to talk about all of that with Gridiron's Matt Carl in just a few minutes, where we share our opinions and totally overlook the Miami Heat, as well as the New York Knicks. And we knew what we were doing, okay? This is about as optimistic as a Sixers fan is going to be during an NBA playoffs, which is before it happens. So please allow us this time. And since it's the end of the season, I assume the NBA awards ballots are due in. Of course, my vote doesn't matter, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Let's go through who I think should win things. For some reason, with the MVP, they want five different names. So here's the five that I came with. Number five, that's going to be Giannis, and I find that hard to argue. Number four, maybe the surprise of the ballot, probably not. I think he's going to show up on a lot of people's, is New York Knicks' Jalen Brunson. Number three, SGA from Oklahoma City. Number two, Luka Doncic, who I highly considered for the number one spot. But at number one, I got to give it to the three-time winner, or soon-to-be three-time winner, Nikola Jokic. Hard to argue any of these five. I know people are going to put Jason Tatum on it, but he wears a Celtics uniform, so naturally he's disqualified. For Rookie of the Year, this one also is a no-brainer. It's got to be Victor Wembanyama. Chet Holmgren can have second place if he wants it. And Brandon Miller really turned it on at the end of the year and did great things for my fantasy team, getting us to the championship. So I'm going to put him there at number three. How about Sixth Man of the Year? Naz Reid. I like Naz Reid. That's all there is to that. I didn't watch many Wolves games, but hey man, Naz Reid rules. So I'm going Naz Reid, Malik Monk, and Bobby Portis. I also consider my man Pat Bev to be put on this list, but I don't know if he qualifies. For Most Improved Player, this is the award that people think is a runaway for Tyrese Maxey, and I disagree. I love Tyrese Maxey. I don't think he even should be on the list. I think Most Improved Player should be for people who really did improve drastically, and I don't think his improvement, though awesome, was drastic. I think he was already an all-star level player, and this year he just became exactly what he already was without a player in his way. So I'm going with Kobe White. I think he's actually going to end up winning this award. And I think it's deservedly so. The guy went from a backup who gives a shit to truly one of the most exciting players to watch in basketball. In second place, I'm going to the worst team in the league, or at least the worst team to watch, and that's the Washington Wizards, for Denny Avdia. That guy's just been good at basketball, man. I appreciate the way his game has grown. And number three, since I'm leaving Tyrese off the ballot, is Atlanta's Jalen Johnson. To be honest, I didn't even know who the fuck he was before this season started. And then suddenly he's on my highlight reel every single goddamn day. So maybe it's just explosive plays, but that's a hell of an improvement from not knowing who he was to being awestruck by several moves a night from the guy. Clutch Player of the Year. Not really sure what this means, but all the stats tell everybody it's DeMar DeRozan. So that's the one I'm going to pick. If it's a situation where we're giving the ball to one guy for one last shot, I'm probably going to pick Luka. But for this exercise, I didn't. I went with his teammate Kyrie Irving and New York Knicks' Jalen Brunson. Though I don't know what evidence I have for Jalen, I just kind of trust the guy. Defensive Player of the Year. This is a two-man race, and I'm giving it to the rookie. This one goes to Wemby. I think he should get all of them from here on out. I think he's proven it. I know they're going to give it to the other Frenchman, and that's who I put in second. So congratulations, Rudy. You're going to win, but everybody knows it's not legit. Okay, that's an exaggeration. At number three, I got nobody. There's nobody that's up there with these two. And last but not least, Coach of the Year. Popular pick is going to be Mark Daigneault, and he did a great job. I also think Jamal Mosley in Orlando did pretty good. But I think the guy who actually deserves it is Franklin and Marshall alumni Chris Finch in Minnesota. Do you remember how down on the Timberwolves we all were after last year? And I get it. They have the players that they should be good. But he turned that ship around entirely. And they're looking great for the first round loss against the Phoenix Suns. So I don't even know if that's all of the awards that the NBA hands out, but it's all of the awards that I'm handing out. So now I'm going to invite you all into the Punks and Dunks echo chamber for a conversation with Matt Carl of Gridiron, where the topic of discussion, of course, is our beloved Philadelphia 76ers. And we know what we're doing. We know how we sound. And I didn't ask him, but I'm sure he doesn't care either. So let's make this official. For episode 5 of Punks and Dunks, Getting It Out selects Matt Carl of Gridiron. What came first, basketball or hardcore?
Basketball, 100% basketball. I mean, I was in probably third grade when the Iverson era really took off. And I mean, growing up, he was just like larger than life to me. Like, he's easily my favorite Philadelphia athlete of all time. Like, I was going to school, you know, with the shooting sleeve on and the finger sweatband and the head. I swore I was the next Iverson.
Finger sweatband. I forgot about that one.
I don't know.
Essential.
It did literally nothing except probably affect his shot, but he looked cool. That's all that matters.
Oh man. So that's pretty much what I thought, just given what I expected your age. I don't know how old you are, but I thought, given you're a little younger than me, that would probably be your Sixers era. Always interesting to me though, to hear what came first. Cause like you, basketball was the first love for me. And I was a Charles Barkley guy, but I kind of figured it'd be Iverson for you and it'd be around that time period. Do you remember like when he got drafted? Can you go back that far?
So I don't remember when he got drafted. I was four when he got drafted.
Right.
So the very first like distinct Iverson memory I remember was that finals run.
Oh, okay.
And I remember just like that was, I was 11, 10 or 11 at that point. And that was the first time I remember, like, you know, sitting on my floor in my parents' living room, just, you know, two feet in front of the TV, just locked in, just the whole entire, you know, the whole playoff run. You know, I remember crying when Vince Carter missed that last second shot. Little to find out, you know, 20 years later, one went in on us, you know, the Kawhi shot, sadly. I firmly believe the Sixers would have won the finals that year if that shot didn't go in, and they win in overtime.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it was set up so perfectly. Curry was hurt. Like, that was just.
Hey, you would have had to have those same injuries though with Clay and Durant. And, you know, that.
Yeah. We'll never know, sadly. But
who did the Raptors beat in the conference finals? Was it Boston? I can't remember.
I can't remember either. It might have been Boston.
I don't know who the fuck. It's always
that sounds that so. Check. That sounds like it checks out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess Sixers matching up against Boston probably wouldn't have went too well.
No, either, yeah, so. It's impossible. But all right. So a couple of interesting things you said there about like knowing or remembering that like 2001 run and that age range too. Cause like I said, Barkley was my guy, but I was born in 84. That's the year he was drafted. So,
right.
So it's just my early memories were Barkley, and they're really foggy. But when I really remember him, and I went with him to the Suns because I was a kid, and that was like Barkley was my guy,
right?
And that was 93, so I was 9 years old when he was in the finals against the Bulls and lost that one. Fucking Danny Ainge went down to double team Horace Grant for some reason, left John Paxson wide open for his. Anyway, it's like a scarred childhood memory, right?
You'll never forget it.
Yeah. No. I used to rewatch that game when it would come on NBA TV all the time because they consider it like a classic series, and it's painful stuff. But
first Sixers game I ever went to was Rockets Sixers when Barkley was on the Rockets.
Oh, nice.
I remember that.
He was garbage. I mean, all right, I should take it back. He wasn't garbage by then, but he was pretty close to it. He was getting there. That's cool. I didn't go to a fucking Sixers game until the Embiid era, which is pretty pathetic of me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I was young when I was a kid, and then I moved down to Baltimore for a long time and then came back, you know, whatever. So I have my excuses, but.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough. We have season tickets in our family.
Oh, hell yeah.
And my aunt and uncle have season tickets and they live in the Lehigh Valley. So it's kind of hard for them to get down all the time, the games. So I get hooked up a good bit to go down the games, which is pretty nice.
That's great. Yeah. I make sure that I go to one a year. I keep it to one a year just as a birthday thing. This year,
awesome. Perfect.
It was the Sixers Pacers game and it was the first Tyrese Maxey 50 pointer. So it was like, you know, it's happening. The last one was the Giannis ladder game. I've timed them all kind of strangely. The one was like the one that they shot the Adam Sandler movie at, where they're playing the Celtics. And I just remember.
Yeah.
And then the other one was like Jimmy Butler's first game, which was also against the Jazz, which was the year after the Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons thing. So there was that whole going on.
Yeah. That anyway, animosity between the real rookie of the year.
Yeah. Yes. So I got to go to some cool ones with just picking one a year. You know, I've lucked out.
Yeah, that's cool. You've gotten lucky on those. I've coolest game I've probably went to was game three of the Sixers Raptors playoff series.
Nice.
I want to say it was 2018. Was it
18 the one or 19? We won or lost?
Maybe we won.
So
yeah,
like so, a couple years ago with Embiid, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Yes. With Embiid healthy. Yeah. That was probably the coolest and the worst Sixers game I ever went to. I was at the Hawks Triple H game.
Oh, where he came out and then they blew it.
Dude, how do you lose that game? Oh, no. Embiid walking out with Triple H, the whole stadium going green, playing the Degeneration X theme. It's like, dude, yeah. The Sixers are winning by 80 points easily. And they were up like almost 30 points in the 26. First half. And
Yeah.
We won't touch on that series too much. So there's not much good came out of that one.
Yeah, that's terrible. Fortunately, I've never seen a loss. Every game I've gone to, they've won. So I always brag.
You better get down here tomorrow.
I like that what I would consider your era is an era of Sixers basketball that I have a giant blind spot for. You know, when Iverson and them, they're making that finals run in the early 2000s, that's when I'm like 16, 17, 18.
Right.
And I just found hardcore. I'm obsessed with hardcore. Fuck sports. I'm out. Charles Barkley was about to retire. I didn't care anymore. So I just tapped out, you know, for like a good, maybe not quite a decade, right, before I came back. So you kind of have probably a good insight on the years that I have, like, none. Right. I just know from what I read, from what I hear, from what I can see. So that's like that era of basketball, like Kobe's best years, the early LeBron stuff. That stuff is all like.
Yeah. I mean, you had T-Mac in his prime and.
Right.
I mean, that era of basketball. I mean, I feel like as far as just like not even just on the court, just like culture wise was just so important.
Right.
You know, everything just kind of changed. And I think Iverson led that change, you know, and I think that made a lot of kids my age fall in love with basketball at that time.
For sure. For sure. And I don't think anybody could argue that, you know, that his influence, probably the most influence on the culture of basketball of anybody ever. I mean, there's definitely other people have made more of an influence on the way the game is played, like Curry. I mean, Curry is probably had the biggest impact that anybody has ever had.
But
that's cool. That's cool that you got to actually see it. Again, I had the chance. I just didn't. I didn't care. Did you ever fall out of giving a shit like I did, where you were just like, I'm all in on this other thing, hardcore, whatever, fuck sports. Did that ever happen?
No. Good. And it's always been, I'm going to be brutally honest. It's always been sports over hardcore for me. I love hardcore. I'll love it till the day I die.
Yeah.
But I will not miss a Sixers playoff game, or I will not miss an Eagles playoff game for a show. I don't know. I just can't do it. Even if I do go, I'm just going to be watching on my phone the whole time. Yeah. Too, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, sports for me, you know, ever since I can remember, have just been like the most important thing to me, you know, to a fault sometimes.
Sure. Yeah. I hear that completely. I mean, like I said, I dropped out for a couple of years, but I mean, I never let go of the Eagles. The Eagles were always, I always held them tight, but the Sixers I let go. But I think a lot of that had to do with me being more dedicated to Barkley. So it was like, oh, I like Barkley. And then when he was out, and that's when I decided to come back to the Sixers. I was like, I got to go back to where I started. So I started watching the Sixers again. It was like 2008, 2009. So that's like what? Sammy Dallenberry, Andre Iguodala.
Process era, beginning of the process like era.
Pre-process. Holiday's still there. They haven't
most done Spates.
Yeah, they haven't done those trades yet.
Spencer Evan Halls. Turner, that era. Yeah.
So that's when I came back in. And then I moved to Baltimore, like I mentioned earlier, around in 2009, I think. So that's when the process begins, right? There's the Bynum stuff. They trade away every year. You know, you have your all-star, you trade them away.
Yeah. You fall in love with a player and then you get a
center who doesn't play once.
Yeah. 17 draft picks. Yeah.
Right. So while I was living in Baltimore, they weren't playing Sixers games on national TV. Like there was no need to. So I didn't see them for years, you know.
You didn't miss much. I'll tell you that much. Dude,
I know.
I lived in the city at that time, and about like maybe 45 minutes to an hour before tip off, you could get to, it would cost more to ride the subway down to the stadium than it would to get into the stadium to watch the Sixers. So we basically had season tickets. We went to so many games, but you're paying literally $1.25 to get into the game.
Yeah.
And you knew they were going to get blown out by 30, but it was something to do. And what also sucked is this is kind of when load management started kicking in. So it's like, oh, cool. Lakers are coming, or the Cavs are coming. We get to see LeBron, or we get to see Kobe, and all those players just sit, you know, Tim Duncan sits, you know, so it was a pretty grim period. If there was ever a period,
I didn't even think about that. And that's what I was going to say. That's at least you would have got to see players. Cause that's the way I pick my game every year is who they're playing. It's not like
who they're playing. Yeah.
This year it was like, I mean, it kind of had to work out on the day I want to go, but this year it was like, I want to go see Halliburton. That's how I ended up on the Pacers. The year before I want to see Giannis. The year before that, I forget who it was, but you know what I mean? Like, right, so you couldn't even bet on that. That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you knew it didn't matter if Kobe played or not, they were still going to win by 20 plus. It just, right. It didn't matter.
Well, all right. So bring me to this year. How are you feeling about the Sixers going into the season?
So going into the season, I felt like
we still had Harden. We had that weird shit going on.
It was very strange. Yeah. The whole Harden, I mean, the Sixers have not had a normal off season since I can remember. Like it's always something. And, you know, the Harden stuff, I felt like a trade needed to happen, and I was kind of getting annoyed with Maury for taking so long to like, just get him out of here. And, you know, a return on him was better than I thought it was going to be. I think like the whole era of having like a big three in the NBA is over. You need two, and then you need the right people around the two. I mean, look at the Nuggets are a perfect example. Right. You got Murray, Jokic, and then you surround them with shooters and, you know, people who can, you know, space the floor, and it works. And I think this year is the year that we have so many players on the Sixers that we have talked about being players on the Sixers for so many years. Right. Like how many years have we said, oh, Kyle Lowry needs to be a Sixer.
Right.
Needs to be. And now he is. Batum needs to be a Sixer. He is, you know, Covington coming back, you know, obviously he's hurt and I don't really, I think Nick Nurse likes him too much. He doesn't.
He's done
know,
for a year regardless. Much. They've already said he's out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but just having these people around Embiid and Maxey that makes sense, you know, the whole star hunting thing, I'm not crazy about it. Like there's rumors of Paul George next year. I want nothing to do with Paul George.
Interesting.
At this point.
Right.
They have money to spend. Obviously Harris is not coming back, but I'd rather just fill, you know, I mean, I think Batum fits better in the starting five than Harris does.
Yeah, I would agree at this point. Yeah, I would agree. Speaking of Tobias Harris, I was on his side for a while. I think until this year where I was like, dude, all right, enough. I mean, not enough because you can't get rid of him. But I was on the side of trade him at the deadline. We're out of it. It's no, you know, send him somewhere for whatever you can get because you're not going to get anything for
him. Just get
him.
A salary dump, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know what it was this year. I guess, I mean, I do know what it was. It was just his general, I don't know. Some days it's just nothing. Some days you get absolutely nothing from him and it's bizarre, you know?
Dude, and then whole, you know, he'll go off for 20 and 16. And then you kind of have like this little part in your brain where it's like, it's there.
Yeah.
Like, why can you not do this? You know, he's finally like catching and shooting a little more, but like still not enough. And like watching him dribble the basketball is painful.
Oh, you know exactly like, he's what he's going to do.
Yep, dude, he's going to back you down. Like,
and then turn around.
There was one play the other night where I forget who was in the corner, but Embiid had the ball at the top of the key and Harris just runs to the corner, literally just bumping elbows. I think it was Maxey. And it's like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like, you've been on this team for so long. You've played with Embiid and Maxey for so long. Right. You should like have the basketball IQ to know where these players are going to be on the floor. And he just runs into them. I mean, that's the thing. Everything about him just frustrates the hell out of me.
See, I want to like him. I've always wanted to like him. And I think that was the thing.
He's a great guy, I liked his personality.
You know? But, you know, and like you said, we have those spurts of things where it's like, oh, wow, he's a real player. A couple of years ago, I remember like putting him on my all-star ballot, you know, not even as like a fan. Yep. Or, I mean, a lot of it was as a fan, but like I thought he deserved it. And yeah, it's far from that these days. But so Embiid goes down with that injury. And there's the whole thing where he didn't play the Nuggets game, and then all that back and forth. He shouldn't have came back. He was forced to come back. I don't necessarily give a shit about any of that. So he gets hurt, right? Kuminga falls on.
Right.
What did you want them to do from there?
At that point, like, it was just kind of like, here we go again kind of thing. But then it was like, okay, maybe this team now is good enough to stay afloat and you don't have to rush him back. Like, you can, like, have him get a surgery, give him the full rehab, which I think they did this time. I think they handled it way better than they
stayed afloat. Would you consider dropping
down? They're playing tomorrow. They're playing tomorrow. And they were pretty close to, you know, being the five.
Right.
You know, so I mean, the Embiid-less Sixers this year brought me back to process era. It was tough to watch. I kind of checked out.
I said out loud a couple of times to my wife, and I watch every game, and I said out loud after, I was like, this is just not, it's not fun. I thought I was going to have fun having no expectation. I thought I was just gonna be like, let's just see what Maxi does. But it was so bad. Some of those games.
Unwatchable basketball, bro. Literally unwatchable basketball.
And then that made me very pessimistic. And I wanted to, my thing was then fuck it. Don't bring Embiid back. Not necessarily tank, but shut the whole thing down this year.
Right.
Rebuild, quote unquote, rebuild around those two and come back next year. Because my concern was that if Embiid brings himself back like he is right now and he's playing well and they fucking flame out again, then this guy has got like every right now at this point to be like, all right, get me out of here. And that's what I'm worried about.
You know
what?
I wouldn't even blame him. I wouldn't blame him at this point, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you can only take so much. And like, he's been so giving to the organization, and you know, he's done everything they've asked of him. And I mean, if they get bounced by the Heat again and he asked out, I wouldn't, one, would not be surprised, and two, would not blame him.
Right.
You know, so, but on the other side of the coin, you have this weird crop of Sixers fans that have always thought that Embiid is not the guy.
Right.
And you know, to trade him for whoever, you know, they could trade him for. You saw what the Sixers looked like without Embiid. Like, you don't want to trade him.
He's only lost 8 games this year. 8. Like, that's it. That's when Embiid and Maxi play together. Well, just when Embiid plays, they have the best winning percentage in the league. I'm not saying that they're a better team than the Celtics by any means. The Celtics terrify me, but clearly when he's there, they're good. And it's like, you can't even debate anything about it. And it concerns me a little bit with his,
I mean, he's with his conditioning now,
but I think he'll be good. I think he'll be fine. And I don't know.
Yeah.
So they're going to play the Heat in the 7-8 game.
Yeah.
How do you think that one's going to go?
I think they win. I do. I think the Embiid Bam matchup, I like a lot.
Yeah.
I like that Embiid hates going out on shooters and Bam isn't a shooter like that. I think the size difference is there with Bam and Embiid. I don't think that the Heat have anyone to guard Maxi. And I also think that I pray Tyler Hero plays 48 minutes tomorrow. Because defensively with Hero,
Rozier's out. They are Rozier's so not playing, bad. So,
yes. And so, and Rozier has the best game of his career against the Sixers every single game. So it kind of works. I mean, on paper, I think they should win. I really do. And, you know, you got a little Lowry revenge factor because they, you know, chose Rozier over him. And, you know, but it's just the Heat and it's Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, and scares the shit out of me every single time because he's our kryptonite, man. I mean, he's a lot of people's kryptonite in the playoffs.
But he's proven it. And that's why I want to ask you, how do you feel about Jimmy Butler?
Oh, I mean, I love him. At the time when they traded him, I understood. Because you didn't know what you had in Ben Simmons.
Right.
You know, and you were obviously any GM in that situation at that given time is going to want to see what they have with Ben Simmons opposed to, you know what you had with Jimmy Butler, which just so happened to be probably what the Sixers needed more than Ben Simmons, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, everything about him, I think, is cool. Like, him off the court is awesome. You know, he's funny. He has a good sense of humor, good personality. He's a gamer, you know. It just, yeah. Well, I would love to have him back, if we're being honest.
Say, all right. Well, we're exactly on the same page with that. I came to like him just before he became a Sixer. He did an interview with Bill Simmons on his podcast, and I just found him like hilarious, super likable, fucking weird. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
but cool, like cool as hell. And then when he became a Sixer, of course he was awesome for him. Those, like, I don't think it was the first two games, but two of the first games when he hit those last second step back threes, I remember it was against the Nets in Charlotte, and it was just like, holy shit, what is this guy? You know,
you were like, yeah, he's amazing, you
right? Know? And then they only get felled by that terrible Kawhi shot. I mean, good, depending on who you ask. And then, like you, they let him walk. And ever since then, he's only done every single fucking thing he said he was going to do. It's only made me like him more. Yeah.
He's like, he has like this arrogance about him, but like, he fucking backs it up.
That's all arrogance time. At the right, like, time. He doesn't do it unless he's doing something, which I think is,
and it's only on the court too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, he seems like he's like a goofball off the court, you know. He's about his business when he's on the floor.
Well, you mentioned Ben Simmons. Is it true there is a Gridiron song about Ben Simmons?
Yes.
Which song?
25-8.
Tell me about 25-8
had Ben Simmons in mind. Dude, I just was pissed off about him, and I just wrote "Grind Much More." You know, he's lazy. I hate him. He ruined the Sixers.
When is this after? Is this after the Hawks series? Or is this like into that season when he wouldn't play, when he was just like talking that shit?
It was around it was around the beginning of the next season, but that Hawks series stuck with me for quite some time. So
still sticking with all of
them. Yeah, I had some still have some pent up rage when I think about it. So that Philly sports helped derive a good amount of lyrical content for the Gridiron Records.
So. Yeah. Is there a lot of it in there throughout other songs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something, you know, something that I'm passionate about and something that has caused me a lot of heartache throughout my life. And that's what this genre of music's about. Right.
Right. So right. I like it as someone who also enjoys sports a fair amount. A lot. I love mixing the two worlds, which I know is not always a popular thing. It's not cool to be, at least to certain people, it's not cool to like sports to the hardcore people. And most people in sports don't give a fuck about any type of music this. So do you remember ever meeting any type of weirdness about being into music like we are, and also sports from the music side?
I can't think of any like specific instances. It seems like a lot of people that like Gridiron also like sports, mm-hmm. because they understand. Like, I mean, we have a song like 12th Man, and the lyrics are like "Forward down the field," which is literally just part of the Lions like touchdown song. Basically, right. The song is called "Forward down the field." So, you know, I think a lot of people can relate to both, and I think that, you know, might help, you know, drive people towards liking us, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. It's hard. It's hard to separate the two, especially when half the fucking crowd's wearing jerseys and gym shorts too.
Right. You know? Exactly.
Are you guys still splitting members between Pennsylvania and Detroit?
Yeah. So we have, four of the five of us live in like the tri-state area, mm-hmm. two live in Delaware, and then two live in Philly, right outside of Philly. And then Will, who plays guitar, lives in Grand Rapids.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So all four of us are right here. And then Will is in Michigan.
Does he happen to be a Pistons fan?
Yeah, but he is in
the Dark Ages.
He is where we were in 2009. So it's pretty hard to like, it sucks because they have like cool young players, but they're just not good. You know, like watching Cade is cool and stuff, but that can only get you to watch so many games when they're getting blown out and, you know, don't really have, it seems like they don't really have a direction. And
yeah, it's very, I only followed them a little bit this year, one because they were so bad, but they weren't on TV very much, but I had Cade Cunningham on my fantasy team. So of course I had to, you know, keep up with him. And though he's injured most of the year, he still played very well. And he's been exciting. Him, who else they got? Duren. And I like the Thompson twin. I forget which one they even have. Asar. I think they have Asar.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a couple pieces, but I don't know. Monty Williams doesn't seem like the guy. But they're fortunately not my problem. The Sixers are my problem. Your problem as well.
Yes.
And ideally, okay, so I think this is an easy answer here, but ideally, where do you want them to end up? 7 or 8?
I want to beat the Knicks.
Hell yeah.
I want to beat the Knicks.
Yeah. Is there a specific reason for that matchup?
I mean, they're the Knicks. You know, obviously I have a disdain towards all New York sports teams. Mm-hmm. I also have friends that are Knicks fans that it would be not, you know.
Yeah.
And just the Knicks every year, it's we're getting Giannis or we're getting, you know,
right.
Plug whatever biggest free agent. No one's going to the Knicks. You know, they're trading for people. And I mean, I love Jalen Brunson, obviously being from Philly. I love Brunson. He's awesome. I just don't think the Knicks are built for the playoffs. And I think if it would definitely be an extremely physical, scrappy series. But if the Sixers are clicking on all cylinders, which still remains to be seen, I don't think, not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Knicks.
No.
I think a matchup with Boston will be as bad as it gets. But on the other hand, if you got to do it, you might as well do it now.
Right. It's going to probably happen at some point.
If you're going to, because the way the bracket is right now, if they end up as a 7th seed, whatever. I'm not worried about the Pacers, the Knicks, or the Bucks at this point.
Right. I mean, the Bucks are on a free fall right now. Right. You know, Dame is playing terrible. Who knows? Giannis injury and they have Doc Rivers. So I'm not worried at all. But I will say if the Sixers got to the second round and had to play the Bucks and lost to Doc Rivers, you might never hear from me again. That might be the it for me. I might start like reading books and stuff instead of watching sports. Cause that will hurt. Thinking about it hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think I'd rather deal with that than losing to the Celtics again in an early round. Like if it's conference finals, whatever, that's one thing, but that's weird. That's like a thing. That's like the goal a lot for a lot of Sixers fans at this point, just got to get to the conference finals, which is kind of sad when the Celtics are there every fucking year. Yeah. Like, oh, we just got to get where they are always at.
It is sad, but I think if the Sixers made the Eastern Conference Finals and lost, I would say after being mad for a couple of days, I would sit back and be like, they had to deal with the Harden stuff. They had to deal with the Embiid injury. You know, they came in as a play-in and they made the Eastern Conference Finals and lost to the Celtics are good. There's just something about them that doesn't like, they don't scare me as much as they have other years. And I don't know if it's like a defense thing. I don't know. I mean, on paper, they're probably a better team than the Sixers. I think it's safe to say that, but you just got to slay the dragon at some point, man.
Yeah, I always think it's good.
Like Embiid said, it's not a rivalry if they just kick our ass every time. So,
yes. Yeah. I don't think there's any delusion from most. I mean, there's always delusion with Philadelphia sports fans, but there's not much. Yeah,
turn on WIP. You'll hear a lot of delusion.
I don't think there's that much that. Like we're aware that the Celtics always win. Like we know that. Yeah. But it doesn't mean we're going to tone it down at all when it comes time for that matchup.
I hate the Celtics more than I hate any team in any professional sport. I hate the Celtics more than I hate the Cowboys.
Oh
yep. I mean, I hate the Cowboys obviously, but the Celtics, they just piss everything about them pisses me off.
I understand. You don't even got to elaborate. I totally understand.
Yeah, you get it. I know.
The Knicks series though, to me is very interesting. It is the more favorable of the two, of course, for several reasons. I think it'll just be fun. I also think the Sixers will win, right? That has a lot to do with that fun, but the fact that it would be like basically nothing for travel for both teams, that's got to favor, both teams, but, specifically
going forward. NBA,
I like that they have all the Villanova guys. You know, that's just a cool extra layer to it. Yeah. Like you, I think Jalen Brunson is fucking awesome. And I do think that he's better than Maxey. All right. But there is not the chasm between Brunson Maxey that there is between Embiid Hartenstein. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you match up the rest of the roster, I think it favors the Sixers with not only just stars, but with role players and experience. The Knicks got like very little, again, aside from Brunson, very little playoff experience of guys who actually played. A lot of people look at Dante DiVincenzo and they say, oh, he's got a ring. Like, no, that motherfucker was in a boot, didn't play.
Yeah.
OG Elba Boo Boo. He was out that whole Raptors run with an appendectomy. Yep. He didn't do anything there either. Like, there's guys, their main rotation guys haven't played in a lot of long playoff runs, right?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. The Sixers never get past the second round, but I just think a lot of things favor Philadelphia. I don't think MSG is going to be too big for him. I want to see Maxey with that lead role in the playoffs, and or not lead role, but you know, lead conductor.
I mean, he had to take the lead role a couple times last year, you know, not by choice, by Harden not showing up. So, you know, but I think, like you said, experience definitely leans in the Sixers' favor. I think it would be cool to go up to the Garden for a game. Mm-hmm. I've been around MSG, like outside of it and stuff. I've never been to an event inside of MSG. So that would be something that I'd maybe try to do, is get up there for a game. But I mean, top to bottom, I just think that the Sixers just are deeper. They have more shooting. You know, the Knicks have a pretty good defense, but everyone always says defense wins championships. The Sixers had the best defense in the NBA for 3 years and didn't make it past the second round in any of those 3 years. So defense, you got to score points to win. Like, that's just what it comes down to.
The only place where I see the Knicks have a clear advantage is rebounding. The Sixers can't rebound for shit, and the Knicks have monster rebounders. Whether that's even just Josh Hart, you know, that guy will get more than the whole Sixers team. Mitchell Robinson, I don't even know what his status is at this point, but if he's out there, he pulls him down too. Hartenstein, whatever. I don't know why Embiid doesn't rebound much anymore, though he picked it up a little more this year, but whatever. I feel pretty comfortable with that Knicks matchup. But it's funny to me to think about that we're already like a step ahead, because they still got to beat the Heat.
Yeah. We got to stop talking about the Knicks, man, because that I'll knock on every piece of wood in my house, man. That's
Can you imagine losing to the Heat and then losing to Chicago or Atlanta? Like, what happens then? Yeah. I don't even know.
I'm on a remote island with no cell service, no internet.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm off the grid.
All right. Well, okay. So let's go with what we were talking about. The Sixers make it past the Heat in the 7-8 game, and they play the Knicks in the first round. What's your game's outcome prediction on that one?
I could see Sixers in six. I think the Sixers, I mean, dude, the home court advantage for the Sixers is no better fans. You know, so that's that, they have that going for them.
We're clearly biased, I think New York's got a pretty good one too.
They do too, but it's not
Philly. There's two of us here, so let's just say it's us.
Exactly. Yeah, we're the New York fans out right now. Right,
yeah, not showing up. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I could see it go. I mean, I think it's definitely going to be like a dirty series. I don't think it's going to be, you know, but then I could see a game where the Sixers win or lose by 25.
Right.
You know, I feel safe saying no matter who wins, I think it goes at least six. I don't think it's going to be a short series.
Agreed. I would say Sixers and six. And if it's seven, I would be worried that it would be the Knicks.
I don't want it to get to game seven.
Yeah. Game seven in MSG. I don't really want to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
So with caution, I'll say Sixers and six as well.
Yep. We're on the same page there.
Fast forwarding way ahead. Finals. Who's your finals matchup and winner? And this, I just got to ask you this, because I think I've asked everybody else this. So I've already given mine out there, which is Celtics, Nuggets, Nuggets win, which I think is a pretty popular choice. It's kind of chalk, but.
Yeah, I love the Thunder. I just think they're just too young.
I don't think they're making it out of the first round.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think they're too young still. I would love to see, I love Ann Edwards. I think it would be sick to see the T-Wolves get there. Don't think they're ready either. Clippers are too banged up. Mavericks could be a sneaky team. Mm-hmm. I think the Mavericks could be a sneaky team, but are they as good as Denver? Probably not.
Yeah.
I would probably have to take the safe route and go Celtics Nuggets.
Who wins?
And by that, I mean the Sixers are winning the finals this year. It's our year.
Of course. Oh man, I can't imagine a Sixers finals appearance because they've never been there as me being a fan. Like I said, I was out those years right. when that one year that they were there. And right. to me, the only championship experience I've ever had in my life is the Eagles. Thankfully, yeah. I was on Broad Street when they won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? But like,
yep.
So same nothing, parade, nothing ever,
all yeah. that good stuff.
Oh, I was there, you know, like night of, I was there with Jay Money. I don't know if you knew Jay.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It was me and Jay were there. Yeah. So like that experience, I don't think that could ever be topped, but Sixers being in the finals would be pretty fucking
it's
close.
Just, we've been through so much at Sixers fans as Sixers fans, but at the same time, we have been through just as much, if not more, as Eagles fans. And like the magnet, like I was in the city in 08, yeah. in 08 when the mm-hmm. Phillies won. And that was awesome. Cause that was my first championship ever. Mm-hmm. First, you know, that the parade was on my 18th birthday in this, you know, Halloween. It was awesome.
Right.
But that Eagles, I don't think there will be anything that ever tops that Eagles Super Bowl for me. But the Sixers at this point, with all the pain and misery that they've caused us, wouldn't mean a lot to me. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That's the, I'd love to see one of each, you know, before my time here is done. But the Sixers is the one that we earned it. We deserve yeah, one. Yeah, just yeah. give us one, man. That's all. I'm not going to be picky.
It's been over 40 years now. You know,
yeah.
So, okay. So one more thing I'd like to do with you here is I always got two trivia questions about the team we're talking about. So this is what everybody says. So I got two, one is going to be right in your wheelhouse. It's going to be right in your okay. era. And this, I picked this one because this is what I thought it would be. On that 2001 finals team, there were four players who made an all-star team on that team. Not necessarily that year, but four all-stars on that team. Which four are they?
Well, Iverson one, Mutombo two. Mm-hmm. Trying to think, because I was still young when this
one
happened.
Of them made it that year that you didn't name yet.
Was it Theo Ratliff?
Theo Ratliff.
All right, so Theo, Dikembe, AI. I feel like I know the fourth one. Was it Tony Kukoc?
No, no. Close though. Good guess though. No. It's Tyrone Hill. Tyrone Hill made an all-star team in the 90s with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I did not know that.
It was his only one. You know, he's one of those, he was a one hit wonder year, but I didn't even know. I had to go back and look. I didn't even realize he was on that Sixers team. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it's crazy when you look at that, roster outside of Iverson and mm-hmm. how he got them to the finals is so crazy.
Yeah.
Like there were not many good people on that team. I mean, Dikembe was pretty good. You know, Theo Ratliff was a pretty solid big man, but like besides that, like Jermaine Jones and Matt Geiger and
an early Raja.
Stop. Come on. Yeah. Early Raja.
Like getting his break, Raja Bell. So the other one I got for you, and I always go back for this one. Actually, this one's, you can call it current. The question is, who owns the franchise record for total blocks?
Embiid.
No.
Or does he not yet?
Nope, not yet.
Who owns franchise record for total blocks?
I would have gone pretty far down the list before I got to the answer. And that's why I picked it, of course.
And he's not on the team now.
No, not for a long time.
Was it Theo Ratliff?
So it was Julius Erving with 1,293. Like, you know, all the shot blockers they had, Mutombo. I mean, he wasn't there for that long. Even Manute Bol.
Or, yeah.
Who else?
Theo Ratliff got his fair share of blocks.
Sean Bradley.
Embiid's not even close to that.
Probably not.
R.I.P. Yeah. R.I.P. Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to ask you about what you got going on with Gridiron this year that you can, or if you can't say anything, don't. But I saw just yesterday it was announced that you're playing this hardcore. That's big news for any hardcore band, of course. You're obviously extremely familiar with the fest.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on with Gridiron these days?
So we're currently writing a new record, looking to record little bit later in the year. Besides that, we're playing the Tied Down pre-show with E-Town coming up next month in Detroit, or like right outside of Detroit. And then we're doing 10 days in Europe this summer on the Triple B tour with Magnitude, Never Ending Games, Scarab, Missing Link, and us. So I'm pretty psyched for that. That should be a lot of fun.
Have you done Europe yet?
And so we played Scotland. It was a year ago yesterday. We played Scotland, but I've never been to like mainland Europe. So we're doing like two shows in the UK and then like Paris, three shows in Germany, Italy, Switzerland, Belgium. And I might be missing one more, but yeah, we got 10 days over there. And then besides that, after that, we got This Is Hardcore. And then we have a couple other cool things in the pipeline right now that should be announced sometime soon, which pretty psyched for. But yeah, we've been kind of chilling on shows recently and just trying to finish this record. So
nice. It's good to hear. I was just looking yesterday. I didn't realize it's already been 2 years since No Good at Goodbyes. And that album's still fresh. Time and flies, getting a lot of plays though, man. That was killer. Everything you guys did, but really that album, that LP was like, I don't know, from my perspective, it was like, wow, that like seemed to break you guys through with a lot of people. Is that the way it was from your end?
Yeah, it was definitely a level up from the first stuff. I think we kind of went a little more like hip hop heavy than like the first, you know, our demo or first EP.
Yeah.
And then the split and, yeah, people seem to still be into it. I will say that I am ready to make some new music and maybe add some new songs to the set list. Playing the same ones all the time kind of sucks. So, you know, I got some new good tracks coming out in the future here.
Awesome. All right. Last thing. And just because it was reminded to me the other day by my friend, Willie Blaze, he posted an old track that you guys were working on for a band you were doing. Whatever happened with that band? Tell me about that.
Yes, dude. So we, the band, I think the name we were going to call it was Regret. And, we recorded like four tracks and dude, they're sick. They're good songs. He's a great guitar player. And, Chris, who also plays in his band right now, great drummer. We recorded them and that was it. But I feel like that happens so much, yeah. You know, you record a demo and you're like, oh, we're going to play shows. And then it just never happens. I wish we would have played shows with that band. Cause I really, really do like those songs.
Nice. Well, hey, at least you got to the point where you recorded it. A lot of bands don't even get to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he can make us post once a year about here's this band. Don't ask me about it. Is basically what he says. Here's this band. Check it out. Don't ask me anything.
Maybe we'll get a Gridiron Bad News Crew weekend or something.
There you go. And I didn't realize there was a Gridiron connection. Well, I guess I did. I asked the question, but that's great.
Yeah. I love those guys. Yeah. The Bad News Crew shit's awesome, man.
It is. It's good to see him doing that thing. And I think it's going to work out for him. So I'm stoked for it.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he's so just like trying to think of the word, like can do it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, writes hardcore music, can rap, can make Bad News Crew style music, like savant with that kind of stuff.
And he's scary as hell looking and friendly as fuck. It's amazing.
It's nicest dude ever, bro.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. I've known him for a long time. So I'll always add in some Willie Blaze praise.
Hell yeah. Matt,
well, I think that'll do it for us. I appreciate you doing this with me. There's a lot of Sixers fans out there, but I don't know many that are also into hardcore. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Hey, enjoy the game tomorrow. Let's go Sixers, I guess. Let's do this thing again.
Right? Yeah. So there you have it. That was my conversation with Matt of Gridiron. And tonight, we'll find out how right or wrong we were as the Philadelphia 76ers take on the Miami Heat in play-in game number one in the Eastern Conference at 7 p.m. At 9:30, the other game will happen as well. Will we sound like fools? We're going to find out. But that's half the fun of doing a sports podcast anyway. I want to thank Matt for his time, for his conversations, for his fellow fandom, and you for listening if you made it this far. As a reward, I'm going to end this with a track from Gridiron. This one is the one about Ben Simmons. This is 25-8. Boom, shakalaka!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.